Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, what are you worried about this morning? What are you worried about this morning? Are you worried about your investments? Are you worried about losing your job? Are you worried about your health? Are you worried about your children or your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren? Are you worried about your parents as they age? Are you worried about your next year in school? Will you be able to do the work? Will you get along with your new teachers? We are chronic worriers, it seems. Someone I love dearly once said, "You know, things are going so well that it worries me." Well, you may be worried about lots of things, but there is one thing that you can mark off your list of things to worry about. You don't need to worry about the world being totally flooded again by water. God has given His word and His promise that this will never happen again. Every time we see a rainbow, it should remind us of God's promise to Noah and to us that He will never completely flood the world again. But before the covenant with Noah and his family and the world, God had made a promise to Adam and Eve and all mankind to send a Savior, as promised in Genesis 3:15. God would send a Savior who would put enmity, that is, hard feelings, put enmity between the woman and her offspring and the devil and his offspring, a Savior whose heel would be bruised by the serpent, and a Savior whose heel would deal a death blow to the serpent. God would do it all. This promise, this unilateral covenant made with Adam, was not dependent on man or woman in any way. It would happen as promised. And God did just that. He sent the God-man, Jesus of Nazareth. At the same time He kept His promise to Adam and Eve to send a Savior, God fulfilled the covenant made on Mount Sinai with Moses. Though the Israelites could not keep the Ten Commandments, in the God-man Jesus, God fulfilled the bilateral covenant He made with Moses. Jesus kept the man side of the covenant as He kept the Ten Commandments perfectly, and He also kept the God side of the covenant to be the God of the people, to care for them, to provide for them, to feed them and give them life. In Jesus, God did it all. Man never kept a covenant with God in the history of creation because of his sinful condition. Never did until Jesus. We live in the same sinful condition before God, though we as sinners cannot, for the most part, keep promises that we make to God. God's promises of faithfulness to us are certain. All promises made by God to humanity have been kept. God's promise to never flood the world again, made through the sign of the rainbow, is certain. God made this promise over 5,000 years ago, and no worldwide flood has happened since the time of Noah. And no worldwide flood will occur. We need not worry about that. And the promise that Christ would come was made even before Noah's flood. For over 3,000 years, more likely for about 4,000 years, that promise stood. Those who believed in the coming Messiah clung to that promise. And it was fulfilled when Jesus was born to Mary in Bethlehem. Simeon saw the fulfillment of the promise as he held the Savior in his arms in the temple. The Savior did all things that were promised of the Savior and Redeemer of the world. He suffered and died as promised. He was resurrected as promised. He ascended as promised. and he has promised to come again. We do not doubt that Christ will come again at the end of this world. He will judge faith from unbelief and take those who believe in him with him to heaven. And so the question for all humanity is now and until the end of time, the question is, what do you believe about Jesus? If one truly believes in Jesus as both God and man, as the Savior, then things fall into place as far as God's promises in Scripture go. But if one does not believe that Jesus is both God and man, then Scripture is a foolish book. A foolish book that will harden the heart in unbelief toward God and His Son. We can see hearts hardening in our gospel text today. The hearts of the apostles had become hardened in unbelief, even after they saw Jesus feed 5,000 men, plus women and children, with 2 small fish and 5 loaves. They were astounded when they saw Jesus walking on the water in the middle of a powerful storm in the wee hours of the morning. They thought they were seeing a ghost. They were terrified, and they cried out. Jesus had planned to pass them by, but when they cried out, he went to them and told them not to be afraid. Goodness gracious. When he got into the boat with them, the wind ceased. Again, they were astounded. Why were they astounded? They did not believe that Jesus was God. Still, they did not believe that Jesus was God. Indeed, we are told that their hearts were hardened in unbelief. Dear ones, in a few minutes, Jesus will come to you as he promised. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He says in our gospel text today, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. For the one who comes to the table believing that Jesus is truly present and is the Son of God, that one will eat bread and drink wine and receive the body and blood of his Savior to his great blessing, forgiving his or her sins, strengthening his faith, and giving eternal life. But for the one who does not believe Jesus is present and is the Son of God, then that one will still eat the body and blood of the Lord Jesus, but he will eat and drink to his condemnation. He will harden his heart in unbelief and condemn himself. For unbelief is the only unforgivable sin. We certainly don't want that to happen at this communion rail. For your pastor is charged with the responsibility of making sure, as best he can, that those who commune at the Lord's table believe that Jesus is the Son of God and is truly present in, with, and under the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper. In these little wafers and in this little sip of wine is present the body and blood of your Lord, the medicine of immortality. One of my pastors used to say that all medicine is just a measured dose of poison. So we have a responsibility to dose out the medicine of immortality as prescribed. Only those who have been taught and confess faith that the bread and wine bring the true body and blood of our Lord to us should commune at this table, lest it harden their heart. What do you believe about Jesus? That's the question for all ages. Believe in him as true God and as true man, as your Savior. Believe in him, dear ones, with every cell in your body. Believe in him with every fiber of your being. God has done all things necessary for your salvation. Your salvation is as certain to come from the promises of God as the flood was certain to come. As certain as the flood is to never come again. And as certain as Jesus, the Savior of the world, came when the time was right. What do you believe about Jesus? Jesus is the Son of God. the Savior of the world, our Redeemer, our Lord. He will come again in power and in glory. Repent. Repent. Confess your sins and believe in Him and what He has done for you, and you will live forever. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.